Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I've got Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Asa Gray.
Hello.
And co-owner and creator of Podzilla 1985, host of Pro Wrestling Unscripted, Shannon Young.
You didn't think I'd be back, did you, fans?
Well,
we got the hate mail. Never let Shannon Young back on Nerd Up.
You're the one that wrote all that hate mail.
Well, I don't like him.
Every letter and email. We got so many. Shannon was a busy boy.
There were a couple letters especially that I found offensive. F, and then there was another letter, but I don't remember what it was.
Was it the F word that starts with F?
No, I think the other letter was U.
Yeah. Oh.
And it was weird that they were all like written from Shannon, sent to the Podzilla, we hate you, Shannon Young, at Podzilla1985.com.
See, they sent me an image. It was a video, and it was four people, and they had F, U, C, and K on their shirts. And they kept like doing this dance going around each other. Will Ferrell was there, and Horatio Sands.
It was a funny video.
It was a great video.
Great video.
Hey, thank you.
So anyway, yeah, no, Shannon, welcome back to the show.
I mean, no, Jesse. Welcome back to the show. You've been gone for 2 weeks on Nerd Up.
I have. It's true. So is Dalton.
Really?
Because we didn't have a Christmas episode. And I've missed it. I've missed Nerd Up. I've missed it a whole lot. It's something I look forward to on Sundays. But being at a Colts game in Indianapolis was also pretty great. So I'm happy to be back, though. Happy to be back on the show. So we'll go ahead and get into some news stuff. And I do want to thank you again on air, Shannon, for filling in on me so that my listeners got something on January.
They got something.
No, I legitimately listened to the episode. I thought it went fine. It was a special episode. It was, you know, best of 2016 nerdy stuff, and I loved it.
I didn't love it. I know I'm my own worst critic. Everyone knows that. But I truly believe, and I mean this, that you bring something special to this show that I could not replicate. So I definitely think I have a little bit more respect for you as host on Sundays now. Dalton, are you okay?
I'm fine.
You look like your wrist hurt for a second.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to work it out. It's just not. It's not feeling good.
Dalton is feeling life. Underappreciated.
That's because for the past few weeks he's been gone and no one knew.
Oh no!
I missed the show until about 5 minutes ago.
I mean, you begged me to be on. This is your fault. I was over there working on that computer.
It's true. Can't verify. I also asked him to be on here. All right, so we'll go ahead and get into the news stuff, though. We've got to start with some comic book stuff. Don't have very much, which was kind of weird. So 3 weeks of no, you know, delivering you the news of the nerd community, and I still had trouble filling a docket. Like, there just not much happened over Christmas and New Year's.
I mean, everything I tried to look up was from this past week.
Yep.
So
yeah, most of what I'm going to talk about right now is over the last week.
They took 2 weeks off like we did. They were
clearly, yeah, the holiday. So anyway, the biggest news in comic books, I mean, there's a few new books, a couple of things. Like Mark Waid had a couple of things to say about like some upcoming changes with Champions, but nothing really substantial. So the big thing, though, with Marvel Comics, looks like they are changing the free digital code promo. For those of you out there that don't know what that is, you don't buy Marvel comic books. Every Marvel book you buy as of right now has a code in it that you can go to the Marvel application or on like Marvel's website. You can redeem that code for a digital version of that book.
That's neat.
It's really, really handy. I take a lot of advantage of that because I actually have a friend that I trade codes with. So, like, I love Spider-Man. He buys all the Spider-Man books, and then I just give him all the codes that for books that I buy. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to have to start buying Spider-Man books. There's so many Spider-Man books.
Well, what's the change?
No longer getting a free code. Like, you don't longer get
so
a
they're
free
just
digital comic.
So they're not so much changing it.
They are changing
it. As they're taking it away.
They're taking away the free book, the free digital version of the book. What they're giving us instead is two bonus comic books. They haven't given us a whole lot of detail about it other than the comics that you can get will be related to an event in Marvel Comics. Like the first one they're doing, one of the options is going to be to get a Civil War II number 0. Because I guess once that, like now that Civil War II is done, they're going to have a sale before they release the trade cover of the individual issues. So you'll be able to get them a little bit cheaper than you would if you just bought the full trade. And, one of the bonus books that you can get is Civil War II number 0. We don't have a list of the rest of the stuff. The big thing that I'm concerned with, I buy a lot of Marvel books.
Yeah.
So what I'm wondering is, will I get two books for each one of those books that I buy? Or will I just get to pick, like, all of them will have the same code each week? So, you know, they print like however many Marvel books in a week.
That's what I was thinking is, so if you buy one book, say, Jesse, you buy 10 to 15 books a trip.
Yes.
And they have five extra comic books that you can get through the codes. Once you exhaust those five, that's it.
See, and that's and what I'm and worried about is that I won't even be able to do it more than once. So say like
you it's know, just this, a uniform code.
Week, yeah, right. Every single book, like they Marvel releases, you know what, 30 books in a week. I think that's actually higher than what they actually release right now. But let's see, they put out, you know, 30 books on a Wednesday. Every single one of those books has the same digital code. Once you redeem it once, you can't redeem it again, no matter how many books
and
you bought.
And it's just tied to your account now.
Right. And so you get just two comic books out of it.
Or even it's a different digital code, but the choices are always the same no matter what.
So that was my thought.
Yeah.
Was
like, yeah. That's,
so you can either get, I hope you like X-Men versus Inhumans. Because you're going to read number zero a bunch.
Because, yeah, that was my thought, too. It's just going to be a bunch of, like, number zeros, like, which is just, you know, intros to their big events. And, like, or it'll be, you know, maybe older stuff that you can get, which also isn't bad. But, yeah, if there's only, because that's my other worry. If they let you get more than just two books out of any week's worth of books, they only have five of them that you can pick from.
Yeah.
So I'll exhaust that real fast.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be a slap in the face to the collectors, the people that buy a lot of comics.
Is there
outrage?
There is a little bit, but honestly, there aren't many people, and I feel like there aren't many people that are really taking advantage of the digital code. Like, I know people that buy Marvel comic books that don't even know what's in there. Yeah, like Dalton, he's raising his finger.
He's told me that before.
A tweet over here. Yeah.
He's and told me many times, like, yeah, there's a free digital code for each of those books. And I was like, well, that's neat. I have the book, though. And that's why I'm not too worried about it, because I'm like, all right, I don't resell my comics ever. So if they get messed up from me reading them, that's just how that's going to work.
Well, and this is more also for, because there's a lot of people who will do the hardcore collector, that they will just take that code and that's how they read it.
Yeah.
They will get the code out of that book and immediately, like, reseal it back in a...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, then that's, you know, there's a group of people that do that. There's a group of people that do what I do, and, you know, they just share.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, I there's a lot of books that I pick up, and I just, like, give the code to my friend in exchange for Spider-Man codes, because there's so many Spider-Man books. And that's all he buys is Spider-Man. So, yeah, it's unfortunate. I'm a little sad about that, because, yeah.
I feel like that's one of those things that if I had known about that, I would have taken advantage of it. But, of course, I didn't find out about it till it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so can you go back through your, like, back issues of stuff? Like, because I have a bunch of Marvel books. I just haven't redeemed those codes because I'm like Dalton in the sense that I will just read my copy and then put it and then store it away. So, like, will I be able to use the digital code for, like, Power Man and Iron Fist, like, one through whatever?
All of those codes, I think, have a one-year expiration date on it.
Oh, really?
So you have a year to redeem it. I'm pretty sure that's the case.
Unless they take it down, you know, if they completely do away with it, like Nintendo Club with the rewards coupons, where you had to a certain time to use it and then pass that, never mind, the access is gone.
Hopefully not. But, I mean, we'll see. We don't have a whole lot of information. We don't even know what they're like. What exactly the bonus books are going to be. They just kind of gave us they told us about the Civil War thing because of the upcoming Civil War event now that it's over. But, yeah, that's all the information we've got. So, yeah, we'll have to see. I'm optimistic, I guess. I'm sad because, like I said, now I'm going to have to start buying Spider-Man. But we'll see how it goes.
It's yet another in a long line of, why are you doing this, Marvel?
Please stop.
Why can't your books be as good as your movies?
And I know, like, and I understand, because, like, we are straight up abusing the system.
Yeah.
And I get that. And I get that they're upset about it, because I know I'm not the only person that's doing it. So they're like, no, we will sell two copies of this book now.
That guy was just carrying a mattress. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a dude just walking
just
a mattress.
Walking a mattress.
Sorry.
Thanks, Broadway.
Good old Broadway.
Hey, I know somebody else that messed up that I don't think you have on your list.
Well, who you got?
Nintendo. Did you hear about the new Nintendo thing?
Which new Nintendo thing?
About the Mini.
No.
Can I just throw this out here real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Apparently, it's been hacked.
Russian, I did see that.
Russian hackers, go figure, have hacked the Nintendo Classic to where now you can add ROMs and update it with new games. So, once again, Nintendo, thank you for making your equipment so easy to hack.
Every piece of Nintendo,
every Nintendo hardware,
and that's their thought process. Be like, all right, if we only make 10 of them, only 10 of them are going to be hacked. Like, it's not the biggest issue in the world.
What upsets me about Nintendo is that they're the most paranoid about
their
copyright
property
stuff. Yeah.
Why Super Mario Run isn't on Android.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, that is exactly the reason, yeah.
Because they're afraid that somebody's going to hack it and play, mm-hmm, like Yoshi's Island.
And despite that, despite how paranoid they are about it, they are the most hacked systems.
Because they just don't.
We know a guy.
They don't understand
security. I'm not
going to
name any names. Who has hacked every Nintendo system. And now you can add the Mini to it. So
I was actually going to ask if Russian hacker was just your code for
yeah. No. This started on a Russian site on Reddit is where I saw it. Mm-hmm. And it's not advisable right now simply because you can't break the system. Mm-hmm. But apparently it's pretty easy to do. All you have to, I'm not going to say how to do it. Never mind. But then
we get put on a list.
No, it's apparently very easy to do. I even saw Ghostbusters.com. I have them on Twitter. And they posted a picture of Ghostbusters 1 and 2 on Nintendo on their Classic Mini. That's where I found out. And it was like, well, our library just got a little bigger. And I was like, how? Did they release DLC for it? Because I'll buy it. No, of course they didn't. Instead, they just let people do it for free.
Yeah, well, because I imagine
thanks, Nintendo.
The only difference is you probably won't be able to get the pixel perfect mode on those games.
Well, I don't know, because it's just emulation.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing. Like, the perfect pixel mode, that's why they only did as few games as they did. And it's apparently the reason why they can't do more games for, like, the Wii U Virtual Console.
Yeah, but now the perfect pixel mode, pick whatever, that just made it like the original, right?
It made it all squares.
That's fine. I mean, I kind of like the high-def look of the Classic Mini anyway.
Which didn't... aren't both of them just... There's still that kind of input lag?
Oh, there definitely is. Yeah, it's just that HD versus old Nintendo. But, I mean, it's still very cool, and I plan on doing it, just for the record, eventually. Just because, I mean, how awesome is that to have a little Nintendo with all Nintendo on it?
So you need to get a hold of your guys, what you just told us.
if I can get that call through to Russia. With our new president, I don't think it'll be a problem.
We always talk about going to Alaska. You can just, you know, you see.
I can just look over there.
Yeah,
that's why I'm gonna go.
Just
to Alaska.
Start waving someone down.
I just keep an eye on him. Me and Sarah.
There you go. All right,
if you're keeping an eye on him, wouldn't you want your roommate Bob, like, just through the blinders?
Moving on.
Movies and TV.
I call him Peaky Blinders.
Peaky Blinders. All right, so a little bit of stuff in TV news, especially with. Some of the comic book stuff, the CW. We're going to start with good news with the CW. Well, mostly.
Is it?
I only care about two
CW
of these things.
Like, no.
They're renewing, they've managed to renew all four of their DC shows. Arrow, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, and The Flash. I care about two of those. Might be different than what you think.
Supergirl.
I was
going to
say Flash
Legends
and Supergirl.
Well, yeah, you guys, but the listeners may think differently.
Well, not anymore, because I just told them.
Because I haven't watched any of the season of The Arrow other than, like, they did a big crossover with all four shows. Mm-hmm. And I watched that episode of The Arrow, and I watched that episode of Legends of Tomorrow. I just won't watch Legends of Tomorrow. And then, yeah, I'll probably watch The Arrow when they add it all to Netflix, and I can binge it and not really pay attention, and, you know.
That's why I still haven't seen season four. Because I'm just so, like...
It starts out real good, and then it just, man, it goes south fast. So fast.
I have not watched any of CW's shows.
I
so.
highly recommend The Flash.
I do like Gorilla Grodd. Grodd is good.
And Grodd's in the show. The Flash is probably like my favorite show on TV right now. It is so good.
See, I loved the first season. I've said it multiple times. Out of like the 23 episodes, it only made me cry about 19 times. Mm. The second season really started to lose me, especially at the end when everything, because it's just time travel. Everything's time travel now. You want time travel? Okay, we're going to put time travel in your time travel. Stop it. It's time to stop.
They went
and
back,
go
back
in
time to go back
stop.
In time.
I'll help you out a little bit here with the current season. Mm-hmm. He is actively, purposefully, completely avoiding time travel because he figured out that he
until
is...
Until they save it for the finale so they can do it like 80 times in 5 minutes.
Well, because the thing is, he tries to towards the beginning of the show. And he finds out that he has irreversibly damaged time.
Well, at that point, why just keep going?
Because you're doing it willy-nilly. Uh-huh. That's what character A has been saying for like two whole years of just like, hey, yeah, maybe don't screw around with time travel because bad stuff can happen. Hey, look, some bad stuff has happened because you time traveled.
Did he not watch the Butterfly Effect?
Oh, I actually liked that movie.
But it's just, hey, don't time travel because stuff goes wonky.
Yep. No, and like that's the thing. It went wonky, so now they're trying to they're not time traveling, which is causing other drama and the show was actually like looking really good for it.
You know what was a very good show? Sliders.
What?
What?
Oh yeah, I do remember Sliders. Yeah.
The way you were, the way you stopped and was looking at the computer, I'm like, how much did we lose?
No, I'm doing something different.
Sliders. It was about a group of four who just kept going into different dimensions, and it was a good show. That's a show you should watch. Not Flash.
I actually did like Sliders.
That's a good show.
I never did finish the show. I always meant to.
I don't know if it ended. It might still be going on.
In a different dimension.
In a different, yeah.
So anyway, no, I like Sliders. Anyway, move past it.
That was a good
so
Jerry, no, I'm glad Jerry that they're O'Connell getting renewed. I'm glad that they're getting renewed because like it's good. They're mostly good. Arrow got real bad, and even like season two of Flash, while it did the time travel thing, it was still good. It was still well done.
Yeah, the CW subreddit for Arrow.
Really good. And
yeah, Supergirl surprising.
I was gonna say, did the Arrow subreddit turn back into an Arrow subreddit and not a Daredevil subreddit anymore?
Yeah, they did, and they actually a lot of them are saying that it's not on par with season one, but it is good. Mm-hmm. Like it's as close as they've gotten in a while. And yeah, like I'll check it out. Like I said, once the season is over and they put it on Netflix, since Netflix has that deal with the CW now, where it will be there. Like I think it was something like a month after it finishes,
it's going
like
to be.
All of it's supposed to go up. So at that point, yeah, we'll definitely watch it. But yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Is Superman gone from Supergirl now already?
He's back to Metropolis.
It was just a part time.
Yeah, he was. That was just a temporary thing. I think.
Yeah, two or three episodes at the beginning of the season.
So here's what I don't understand, and maybe you can help me out on this: the movie universe and the CW universe are different.
Yep. Yes.
Okay, that's really all I need to know, because I could have sworn I heard that the Flash from the show was the Flash that was going to be in the movies. Do you think it's stupid to have those two universes separated?
I don't, because I really like the CW-verse, and I don't want WB to put their grubby little paws all over CW show.
That's fair. No, because there was a massive fan uproar when they found out that there wasn't going to be that crossover, because Stephen Amell is so good as Oliver Queen.
Yes.
And Grant Gustinson is so good as Barry. So it's like, I mean, clearly it's like, okay, well, you already have these actors who have proven that they can do a great job with your characters, so just let them do that same great job in the movie.
And that's how I felt about the guy that played Superman in Smallville. I don't remember his name.
Oh, I don't either. But yeah, no, he was a perfect Clark Kent.
He was
Kent.
A great Superman. He was a good Clark Kent. Yeah. And I wish they would have picked him instead of
Henry Cavill.
Cavill. I don't mind him. It's just he's...
Oh, you know who was a better Superman?
Brandon Routh.
Yes.
Forever. They just added Superman Returns to Netflix. And the other day I was watching the Netflix, and I thought, I'm going to watch Superman Returns. But then I realized he doesn't fight anything.
No.
Ever.
You know, Superman Returns was not a great movie.
He lifts an island.
Tom Welling,
yeah, that's his name.
But he was a great Superman.
He was a great Superman.
You can see Brandon Routh in season three of Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow.
Yep. He plays
the Atom.
Or the Atom. Yeah.
And he's so good.
He is.
He's so good.
Yeah,
Why didn't you bring back Dean Cain?
Dean Cain?
As Superman.
Lois and Clark.
Arrow.
Or Richard Grieco. Also solid.
Touch my finger.
So anyway, in other CW news, though, they did acquire Constantine from NBC,
mm-hmm.
which had been in talks for a while.
Yep.
Because Matt Ryan made an appearance on an episode of The Arrow. It was actually a really good episode.
Great news for Constantine fans.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's going to start out, and I say start out, like we don't know that it's going to go past this, but it's going to start out as an animated series on the CW Seed, and it will be 10-minute minisodes.
Mm-hmm.
10
okay.
minute.
Okay, I'm going to throw out a title real quick.
Yeah, what you got?
That will make everyone feel better.
Sure.
Star Wars, Clone Wars.
I mean,
the original Clone Wars was 10-minute episodes that aired on Cartoon Network, and it was fantastic. Everyone loved it.
It was.
So I feel like even though Constantine, I would
and
rather...
And then they kept it with an animated show for the rest of its existence.
Well, no, that's... Well, they did an animated show later, but everyone agrees that the first Clone Wars was better, to a point. The new one might be better now. I don't know. I haven't seen the newer one in... I have
the Cartoon Network... Well,
no,
I guess
Clone
it wasn't
Wars.
Cartoon
oh,
Network.
Oh, the CG one.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, no, it was Cartoon Network. The first Clone... The CG Clone Wars is what we're talking about, not episode two. It's set between episode two and three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was really,
yeah, that was just
really
like,
good.
Wow, the Clone Wars is such a great idea for... You know, cool battles and neat storytelling ideas. Let's do it for real, though. Like, let's make it well done.
But to be fair, the 10-minute episodes were really good. I mean,
they were
well
regarded.
So I think maybe it'll work for Constantine. I mean, maybe it will. Quick question, and I'm not, and I mean this. Like, if you guys tell me, did anyone here actually watch Constantine?
Yes, that's why I'm not happy about it.
So you really did. You watched the whole series and you liked it.
Yeah, I really did. I mean,
I didn't get to watch it. It
was very supernatural light. Like everything was. It was a very monster of the week.
Which is the best supernatural?
Yeah. Like there was that overarching.
Did you get tired of the? Of the, what were they called?
I mean,
the bad ones.
The Leviathan?
You get tired of the Leviathan?
But the Leviathan wasn't Monster of the Week as much.
That was Monster of the Season?
Yeah, yeah. That was the big bad.
That was sarcasm.
I'm off. I'm gonna go.
Really like Constantine. Matthew Ryan was awesome as Constantine. I can't remember the guy's name who played his, Chaz, the actor. I can't remember his name. His name's Chaz.
Because I didn't watch the show
at all. His, sidekick who couldn't die.
Charles Halford?
He was really good.
Was he basically the Shia LaBeouf role from the movie?
I didn't see the movie, so...
You've never seen the movie?
Nope.
I was going to ask you what you thought of the movie versus the show.
Didn't see the movie. I'm almost willing to guarantee that the show was better.
I assume too, but I actually did like the movie. Did you guys see Constantine the movie?
I did not.
Really? I'm the only one?
Yeah. Wow. It's one of those things, like, I just never... I didn't avoid it. I just never had a chance to see it.
After the show, I was like, I'm not going to like it as much, so I'm just going to skip it. But then Harold Perrineau, I'd never say his name right.
Perrineau. He's awesome.
He's in Constantine as his kind of like liaison type character.
Oh, is he the guy at the club from the movie?
Again, haven't seen the movie.
But is he a guy? Is he in a club?
Like, is his name Manny?
No,
because there's a guy that they go talk to in the movie.
He's an angel.
Yeah.
He's an angel who is kind of helping him out, but. And then, like, there is kind of a plot twist towards the middle and back end of the season that's super, you know, like, well, duh. Like, I'm not surprised. But it was really well done. It towed that line of funny and dark, I thought, really well. So I was really excited to see it come, especially when all of the headlines announcing this are saying Matthew Ryan signs on to reprise his role as Constantine in new CW series. Not Matthew Ryan to voice Constantine in 10-minute websodes. And on like CW said, Seed.
I'm just really hoping that that's the intro, and it'll move to a full-fledged show once that's done.
The intro would have been the Arrow NBC cameo.
Shows. Oh, that, yeah.
Or the NBC show.
And then just, yeah.
Because, like, Supergirl, like, they're not pretending that... Like, it's a direct continuation of the first season.
Yeah.
Like, even though, like, this is their first one on the CW.
And they could have easily done that with Constantine.
They did the same thing with Buffy when they ended her run on WB... And then they switched over to UPN, I think it was. They just continued, because they killed her off in the last episode of the WB series.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, okay, follow that. And then they brought her back to life, and it was like, oh, and they explained it. So, yeah, it's not like they just, like, restarted it. It just carried on. So there's no reason they couldn't do that. Also, I was curious, did they keep the smoking in the show?
Like, you can't show it?
Yeah, and, like, that's
especially a big part of his character,
well, especially
too.
Because it's NBC. Like, I don't know if CW has that same...
I'm almost positive they don't, because I want to say that I've seen people smoke on CW, like on one of the CW shows. Because
I'm trying to think of like Supernatural, like I feel like Crowley probably would have, like he would have been the one.
I don't remember
if it did or not. Like I feel
or
like
even
it
anyone
had to
in
have
Arrow,
happened.
Like anyone in Arrow.
It's one of those small things that like you're like I'm sure it happened, but I'm not 100% because it's such a mundane.
But
like,
at the same
thing. Constantine is such a big part of him, you know.
But
he's always got a cigarette.
But I will say, like watching that the NBC one, didn't notice it. Like yeah.
A little bit of a, like a fan.
There was a little bit of a like. There was a little bit of like a wink where he couldn't find. Like he was patting at his jacket trying to find something. But
because I heard that happened like a couple of times. He's like trying to find a cigarette. And just
it's like when it's like season
cute.
4 of House where they're like, yeah, you can't show him take Vicodin anymore. So they like totally cut it down. Like he maybe would just do it subtly, like once an episode, if that, as opposed to just. Shaking the bottle
and popping pills just
doing
all
it
the time.
Like three times an episode. Yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't a deal breaker by any means. This isn't going to sell me on CW Seed. Whereas I would have been way more
like
hyped to
the animated show. He just has like 4 cigarettes in his mouth and he just like blowtorch off for him. Be like, this is the show that I want.
It's that picture of Homer Simpson, the file photo with 50 cigarettes.
Yeah.
In his mouth.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll have to see how it goes. Like I said, I'm really hoping it's just an intro and then they'll do a full version. Like, maybe it was quicker to animate something
All right, let me ask you this.
Somehow.
As a fan of it, would you rather have this or nothing?
I mean, this is basically nothing because, I'm not going to see it. Like,
honestly,
unless someone, like, leaks it to YouTube or...
So, what is CW Seed?
Basically,
I meant to look that up.
I think it's their online streaming service.
Well, because the CW has, like, everything that is shown on the CW is streamable on the CW app for free.
And when I looked it up, the CW seed includes all of the original season of Constantine.
Oh, that's interesting.
From NBC.
Yeah, I need to look up and see exactly what that is, because as of right now, even if you're not a cable subscriber, you can get the CW app. And you can watch, like, the last 5 episodes and more on certain shows of anything that's on the CW right now for free. Mm-hmm. Like, you just, it has advertisements, just like if you were to watch it on regular TV.
Or Hulu.
I know Hulu doesn't have CW anymore.
No, I'm just saying, you get advertisements.
Oh, that, yeah. No, you're right.
Imagine if Netflix could have got a hold of Constantine.
Netflix has that deal with CW. And
I think he means like an original. Oh,
if they could have done Constantine original. Instead. Like,
it'd be a lot darker.
Well, because Constantine it's like Punisher and Daredevil to me. It's like, it's made for something like Netflix where there's no rules.
That's why I love Justice League Dark so much, because that was his comic book in the New 52, and it was gloves off. Just like, okay, well, we're not going to include any of these characters in anything else, so have fun. And they did, and it was amazing.
Because that one's like Swamp Thing and...
Swamp Thing, Zatanna... Animal Man was in a stretch
just
of it.
And Constantine together in one thing. That just sounds awesome.
Oh, yeah. Justice League Dark was a great book.
Dead Man.
And has that movie released yet?
Not yet.
The animated series? Okay.
Yeah,
no, Justice League Dark was really good. I highly recommend checking it out. You can find some trades somewhere. Because I think you especially would really like Justice League Dark.
I love the sound of it. I love Constantine. I love magic and also Swamp Thing.
Yep. And like he said, Animal Man's in it. Dead Man's in it. Yeah. No, it's solid stuff.
And then they kind of buddled it with the whole Trinity Wars thing.
Well,
I did not like that crossover at all.
No, it was like,
because I was reading Justice League America and I was loving that book, and then they had to do that stupid crossover.
Just in general, like DC has not been like, and I know Marvel hasn't been much better, but DC has not really been hitting it out of the park with any crossovers lately.
So I just downloaded CW Seed on my phone. I have Vixen, the first episode, going, which is another DC character that they...
Yeah, like she's made a couple of appearances on Arrow and Flash. I think. Well, Arrow anyway. So, yeah, like it... And I guess it's up there for free, like you can just watch it.
Yeah, it's not asking me for any kind of...
All right, we'll see. That's not bad.
Well, then the fact that it's still a 10-minute... animated short
as opposed to a full episode.
It like also looks like this is the same, so it just has like season one. It's weird because it has episode 101 full season, so I guess it just puts all of the episodes together in once.
That's weird,
like in one block, which I mean it would only be an hour long because they did the same thing with Vixen. It's not like full episodes, I don't think.
Right.
Oh, you mean Constantine the series is already up?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant it was already on there for stream.
No, Vixen. Because they're doing the same kind of thing where they're...
Is it Vixen's as well? Another... I don't think it's animated, but it's another 10-minute.
It is animated.
It is, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Can I see the animation real quick? Because I'm kind of curious of what it looks like.
It's reloading back up. But so, yeah, I mean...
Is the animation good?
As long as it's a paid app, or as long as it's not a paid app like this, then that's better.
And it's also Chromecastable.
Yeah. Matthew Ryan was so good, and I know he's coming back, so it'll still be the voice, but just a lot of his mannerisms and
he had the
little
look of
movements. And CW as a whole was doing, the entire season is just 30 minutes. So, but like the whole, it kind of looks like Young Justice a little bit, art style, if you'd want to pass that around.
It's pretty good. Like, I like the art style of it.
But so,
okay.
I really would have rather had just a live action Constantine with as good as CW's stuff has been as a whole. Especially, like, on average, I think they could have done something really, really good with it. And I'm not saying that this won't be good. It's just I would have much – and especially now that I know it's free, then that feels a little bit better.
There is something to be said, though, that it's nice that at least they didn't give up. Like, Constantine's not over. Like, it's still – and like you said, Jesse, this might be something that if it's popular and they see there's a market for it, they might go, okay, well, let's bring it up.
Do the live action. Yeah. Make it happen. And it also might just be something that's easier to do since there's so many, like, just the nature of Constantine, I feel like is likely a lot easier to do animated than it would be to do live action.
But do we know who's behind the animated show? Because is it the guys that
the
do
same
the
guys, like, same writers and everything from the NBC show?
No, I mean, like, but is it connected in any way to the guys from the, was it DC Directs or what are they called?
That's unlikely.
Because every DC Direct has a different actor or a different director and, like, producers and stuff. It's just a studio, so people just come in.
So, like, was it Bruce Timm? So there's no chance Bruce Timm might be a part of this.
I'm going to highly doubt it.
Because if he is, I mean, that could go a long way.
Well, I mean,
to...
Bruce Timm has really only done, like, two of the DC Directs.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. Like, Jay Oliveira did the Dark Knight Returns, and then other people did the... And it hurts me. I can't think of who they directed them. But other people have directed the other ones. Like, it's not two guys. Like, it's not, like, the same people every time. It's just the company.
Because that would be neat. Like, if they had the guys that did, like, you know, those series, or even... Because a lot of those guys also did Batman the Animated Series back in the 90s.
Yeah, a few of them did, yeah.
So if they would have had them work on it instead of... Because my fear is that they just got... somebody. Like, it's just like, okay, here's Constantine, let's have random people work on it, and they're not going to capture the soul of it. But if those guys are working on it, then maybe it would be really good.
I want to think it's part of it, especially since they did inherit the whole NBC library.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be fine.
So they at least will have a reference point.
So once they get it out, you know, we'll have a review for you guys, because we'll check it out. But we'll go ahead and move on here to some video game news. Something that I'm pretty excited about, Mass Effect Andromeda finally got an official release date. For March 21st, they do not have any plans for the Switch. So as of right now, this is
no
Xbox
kidding.
One, PS4, and PC only.
Dalton, show him your shock face.
I'm not doing that bit on the show anymore. I was told that it's not funny.
Oh, you got me there, dog.
It's especially not funny as the you know, another visual gag for the audio podcast. But yeah, no plans for the Switch, which, yeah, it's not very surprising. Well,
it's disappointing, though. Because you hope that Nintendo would kind of come out the gate with, like, okay, hey, we can keep up now. Everyone's going to support it. Like, the Wii U kind of did it first, mm-hmm. but they don't even have that this time.
Yeah, because the Wii U got Mass Effect 3.
Yeah, and it also, it got Call of Duty when it came out. It got Batman, Arkham City.
Yeah.
So, like, they jumped out of the gate with third-party support. It's just no one cared. And now it looks like they might not even get that.
Because that was a marketing disaster. The Switch, at least people are excited about. So, yeah, we'll have to see how it goes. They did announce a couple of collector's editions for Andromeda. And I'm not honestly sure if they announced this at the same time or if it's old news. And if it is, I apologize. But there's the deluxe edition, which is an extra $10. You get some in-game weapons and skins. Historically, in Mass Effect, it's stuff that'll be obsolete pretty quick, minus the skins. That's, you know, cosmetic stuff is always going to be fun. If you're like me and you just really, really like steelbook cases, you do have a couple of options on Amazon.com, and I think they'll be released at Best Buy as well. The first one is $99.99. You get the steelbook case, and you get a die-cast, I don't remember the name of the, it's the new Mako, basically, the all-terrain vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
You get a die-cast, like, model that's just super detailed. It even has, like, light-up effects, a base you can set on it. Like, you can open the doors and see, like, lights and everything inside. It's really cool-looking. Mm. Again, $99.99. Importantly, does not include the game.
I was about to say, like, that's really,
I was
that
say,
sounds
like
a good deal with that model until
yeah,
you said that.
$40 to get that model.
My initial thought when you said diecast was like, oh, a cool little, like a little Hot Wheels.
Oh, no, it's much bigger than that. but yeah, $99, $99.99 does not come with a steelbook case. Or it does come with a steelbook case, does not come with the game.
So the important question is, are you going to get that steelbook, dog?
I really want it.
Like, so that's a yes.
You guys have no idea how bad I want. Like,
oh,
I
no. I have a very good idea.
I don't understand the marketing behind that. Because they did that with Battlefield. We said it before. They released an edition that didn't have the game with it. Like, who are they marketing this
to? Wait a
to?
Minute.
Hey, do you want the steelbook for the game that's not included with the purchase?
Yeah.
Why not just release a version with that and the game and make it $150? Why not?
Here's why. Hey, Jesse, how much are you thinking about getting that?
No, and I'll tell you why.
Oh. Was thinking about it at one point.
There's another edition.
Oh, much better.
This one
is it?
It's not. This one is. It comes with a. It also has a Mako. It's a little bit bigger than the one you get there because it's RC. You can actually get a. It's similar to like the old Claptrap, if you guys remember that.
Yeah,
from
I found one of those. There was one at like a GameStop somewhere.
There's
I don't
one
remember.
At GameStop here for a while.
Didn't Gabriel buy it?
No, Gabriel bought one on the internet. Oh. But no, like it was months after release, and I almost bought it because it was down to like $250.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Look down.
Look at Oysters Rockefeller over here.
No, I'm not Oysters Rockefeller. Otherwise, I'd have a Claptrap.
The queen in her Claptrap.
But that one came with a game. So, yeah, it's kind of similar to that in that it has like that mobile support, and it does have a built-in camera. So you can drive this thing around from your phone, and it will stream video to your phone screen.
Oh, great. Jesse has a new way to bug us.
It also comes with a steelbook case.
And?
And it is $199.99.
And?
That's it.
Does it have the game?
I said it doesn't have the game.
Does the RC car drive you to the store to get a copy of the game?
I mean, like, it might drive some small.
How much
very
is it?
Small, but $200.
Jesus Christ.
Where's Zandig when you
need really
them?
Did, like, come so close to pre-ordering it, because, like, that RC
Why?
Car. It's an RC Mako. That looks so pretty and has a camera.
Cool. So while you're recording your adventures in your bathroom, other people are playing the game.
No, I'm recording my adventures from the bathroom around my apartment.
Now, does it come with the camera? Like, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm just
watch
waiting
it not
for...
come with it. It actually takes cassette tapes, but it doesn't come with them.
There's like that tiniest little asterisk. GoPro not included.
Oh, God.
Oh, that would make
well,
me so
hey,
sad.
So that's the $250 edition.
That was the game, right?
No, that's the $300 edition.
So, no, I still am considering, because I'm a fool, considering
what's that new show we're working on?
Oh, yeah. Coming soon to the Z85
tentative title.
Tentative title, name pending.
This could quite possibly be my favorite show that we've ever, and you guys came up with this. I don't know who came up with it. You or Asa?
Asa had the name.
Yeah,
this is the best name. Asa comes up with the best names. Roll for Friendship was my favorite name until this one. Asa, what's the new show?
It's our unboxing series on the YouTube channel that's going to be coming soon, titled Irresponsible Spend Monsters.
I love it so much,
and it's just going to be all the ridiculous things that Asa and I buy.
Yes,
and then
Asa
with special guest the Spend King.
Damn it. So yeah, guys, look for that coming in the future.
As soon as I can, which again, not to speak for any of that account at all, like, because this would be my irresponsible spend monster purchase of a camera and setup, which hopefully I could get some of that money back out of that Patreon at patreon.com/podzilla1985.
Please, people, we're moving into the next era or the next generation of entertainment. Video.
Which,
we need more money.
Well, not to get totally sidetracked, because one of the things that I kind of pride our show on is the quality of it.
Yeah.
The sound quality is up there with Nerdist, with any of the big name podcasts, because this was an investment.
Yes.
And I want that to be the same with YouTube. I don't want to just do it on like a webcam with a USB mic or cell phone stuff. So like,
yeah, cause,
I've been looking into actual equipment to use. To give you the fans the highest quality
of our
irresponsible spending. A whole lot of love and research went into bringing you this quality podcast at a price that we could afford.
Right.
What we lack in talent, we make up for in equipment.
It just turns out that cameras are real expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, soundboards ain't cheap.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we can use Jesse's new Mako.
I'll just drive it around the table.
Oh, zoom in. Okay.
That sounds like nails on a chalkboard every time there's a camera cut. Don't worry about it.
What's that motor? It's... Back to those collector's editions. I'm thinking about getting one, but it probably won't just because $100 and I don't get the game. As much as I love steelbook cases, anybody that's been to my apartment has seen the two shelves that I have devoted to steelbook cases.
Mm-hmm.
They're there.
That's just so silly, though. Why you would release that without the game with the case? Like, is it that hard to put the disc in the case?
Because honestly, I would probably pay $150 for that, like... And I understand that I can buy that edition and the game if I do the Prime discount or the Best Buy discount, I get it for less than $150 together.
It's just the inconvenience of it all.
Yeah, it's just that it's that principle of you're selling me a bundle of the game without the game itself.
Because $150 is not the most I've spent on a collector's edition of a video game.
I mean, what if they sold you this really nice property? Like this gorgeous property, big yard and all that. The house is not included, though. It's there, but you can't go in it.
You get the house, just you can't use the upstairs bathroom or the living room.
That's extra.
Or the front door.
That's extra.
It's just...
No, see, now you're explaining DLC.
Oh, that's true.
The upstairs bathroom
that's
is
the
DLC.
That's on-disc DLC, too.
That's the new DLC. You get your brand new game from Best Buy or wherever you buy games. You open up the case for access to the game itself...
Here's the DLC.
Please log in.
The season pass from now on is just the game.
Log into Activision servers right now And
well, try.
Try. Because there's too many other people getting on. And it's
all
not going to happen. So, yeah. So for those of you out there that are really, really into Mass Effect, I know Hunter in that legendary group chat, mm-hmm. he and I were just both like, really just, move past it.
Remember when we got the angriest at pre-order bonuses?
Yes.
We were like, well, that's stupid. You have to pre-order to get this item.
Yes.
Now you don't even get the game when you order, like, not even pre-order. Just buying additions don't get you the game anymore.
Which, I mean, this just sounds, it sounds less like... They should have just marketed this as, hey, do you want an RC Mako? It's $200. But you get just an RC Mako with a camera. No one would be upset at that.
And you'll get a steelbook case for your game.
Yeah. But the fact that they're, you know, calling it the Legendary Edition of Mass Effect Andromeda, well, it's just without that Mass Effect Andromeda. If they were just calling it the RC Mako with the free steelbook case,
right.
This conversation would not be happening.
We wouldn't be, wouldn't be dwelling on it.
So, yeah. So we'll stop dwelling on it now. We'll go to Street Fighter V.
God,
anybody that listens to this show knows
is Turbo
that,
Edition out.
That I'm the only one that played it and bought it.
Yeah.
Day one
and
sold it day six.
Day five.
Okay,
and because we five? Told you not to, we told everyone not to on the show.
Hey, to be fair, I did enjoy the game and I was good online. I had a good record.
You did.
It's true.
Well, yeah, you and the four other people playing.
It's just you know there were like six characters, so
yeah,
it looks like I got bored.
And then you had to pay for all the extra ones. So I guess they have improved it from what I understand. They have improved Street Fighter V immensely.
Yeah,
and it's not a bad deal anymore.
It's almost ready for beta.
No, it's nearly ready to go gold. So they added this new feature. They've been trying to deal with rage quitters because apparently when the game first came out, you could just leave a game. It wouldn't hurt your ranking, wouldn't hurt anything. You could just leave mid-match.
Yep. I had that happen. Yeah.
Yeah, like it does, like all it does is just waste yours and the other person's time, mm-hmm. but it saves you a loss. So they've been like doing things progressively, getting better about like dealing with rage quitters, and at this point, their most recent change is giving everyone that rage quits if you rage quit or disconnect, I guess, three times in 1 hour. If you disconnect from a match three times in an hour, then you will earn yourself a player icon that you cannot change. It will be a special player icon to publicly shame you. As a rage quitter.
Didn't they also put in the thing where there were like special animations at the end if you disconnected?
Yeah. Mortal Kombat X did that.
Or is it that? It's Mortal Kombat. I'm thinking of
Mortal Kombat X had the quitality.
Yes, that's what it was.
That
yeah.
your opponent's head would explode.
I'd
and
have
it would be quitality.
Else,
but then it was also that was also coupled with the player who leaves automatic loss. And also if you did it enough, you would start getting matchmaked with only other players who also quit
and
out.
That's the same thing Street Fighter's doing now is you pretty much only get matched with, or I guess because the Shannon, would you play, did you join like a lobby to play Street Fighter V?
Because I think it was one of those things that it was kind of like Call of Duty. You just go to whatever and then it would just automatically put you in a match.
Yeah, because I guess if you do the matchmaking, because the way I was reading it made it sound like people wouldn't join your game, I guess, if you do a public game. And then, it match makes you. It puts you in a pool with other rage quitters.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, it's like GTA. You know, GTA had that supposed
bad behavior
thing, but they would put you in a specific game with other bad people.
And it gave you a dunce hat that you couldn't take off.
Mm-hmm.
I love publicly shaming, like, terrible people on the internet.
Yeah. Toxic people just are the worst.
That's one of the best things that's come out of video games in the last few years.
And I mean, like
the World of Warcraft thing. Or, no, it was Overwatch.
GG Easy.
The GG?
Yeah.
But then I guess enough people complained about the public shaming. Blizzard took it down.
It's still a thing.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, no, if you type, it's just like the only thing it really did, like more people actually say GG Easy.
Just to see
but
what
now
the...
it's funny.
Right.
Yeah.
So now everybody does it.
Yeah.
Even I feel when they slow, lose. Hold me.
Yeah. Stuff like that. Or like, oh, it's past my bedtime.
Yeah.
I wish Blizzard had kept their policy of when they wanted to change the Battle.net IDs to real names. And people really quick said, no, you can't do that. Because they were afraid that now they can't talk trash. Because now you know who they actually are.
Because now you're
are.
Accountable for...
You're well, accountable I mean, for your actions.
Like, even outside of that...
But I could get why they did it. Because what if you're playing a game with someone and it's a girl. And then she gets publicly harassed because her real name's on there now.
Yeah.
So I get it.
Or you get matched with someone that's actually a sociopath.
Mm-hmm.
And
you just, like, just wreck them.
Yep, and now they've made it their life mission to figure out which Asa Gray that is.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say his full name on the show.
We already have.
I'm pretty sure it's
four times a week.
So they see Asa Gray. That ain't a common name.
It's really not.
So they figure out which one he is based on his username and rough age approximation. And now Asa has a stalker that's going to come murder him in his sleep.
Again?
Maybe it's the same guy that left you that Joker thing.
Oh
yeah. Thanks for reminding me about that.
I'm so sorry. I thought you remembered.
Oh, well, anyway.
But, Street Fighter V, they're doing a good job of, making a $60 game.
Yeah.
Almost a year after release.
That's ridiculous compared to Mortal Kombat.
See, and that's the thing, is Mortal Kombat X and NetherRealm Studios has ruined fighting games, because now you're looking at all these things that they just did from the beginning.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, no, yeah, that should be standard. There's no reason a fighting game can't have an awesome story mode. There's no reason that you can't have, 20-plus characters.
I love that Mortal Kombat went from being the big game everyone loved to play when they were younger only because of the blood,
mm-hmm.
to a terrible fighting game for years that no one wanted to play. And then right when it was almost done, they came out and were like, never mind. We figured it out. Yeah. Compare that to Killer Instinct, the new version of it,
mm-hmm.
which, like you said, now by Season 3, it's almost a full box release.
Yep.
But compare it to Mortal Kombat, every game seems so ridiculously limited.
Killer Instinct was free just to play. And then you could pay, what was it, $30 for the, everything forever?
Not everything forever, because there's already a DLC character out, Kilgore, who you have to buy.
And by free originally, what you mean is, there was, I think two or three characters you could play as.
Yeah, it was, rotating.
And then you could, yeah.
But anyway, moving to a different fighting game, speaking of NetherRealm,
mm-hmm.
We got an Injustice 2 release date. Which, yes. I think NetherRealm is still on Injustice. Yeah, aren't they? Yeah. I thought about that for a second. I was like, wait. Yeah, no, they did the first one.
Yeah, it's still them.
I need to play it. I'm not excited.
May 16th is the Injustice 2 release date. They have one thing that made me actually kind of excited about this. So I remember all of us, whenever they did that first release trailer, were really upset about some of the faces, particularly Wonder Woman and Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
Looked terrifying. They have done, their most recent video, you caught glimpses of those two characters. They look significantly better now.
Oh, thank God they're prettier.
Well, no, the hair looks better. The faces just don't look as terrifying.
Like plastic and weird, yeah.
Like, it was odd.
It's the armor system that bothers me.
See, that's my thing. I really need to see how they end up doing this. Because
for
DLC.
Some characters it makes sense. You want to obviously armor Batman if he fights Superman or something like that.
Yeah.
But there's very little reason I could see Superman would ever need armor.
Oh, not even from a storytelling standpoint. I just mean from the
mechanics?
Balance
standpoint. From the balance standpoint and the fact that, but you also can unlock these through the store.
Yeah, because the more features you add, or the more things you add to a game, that's the more stuff to balance.
Mm.
And it makes it harder and harder to keep a game balanced, which Mortal Kombat 9 had a whole lot of trouble just doing balancing all the characters with the three stances. Mm-hmm. So,
I'll be buying it day one, but I will not play it online.
Mortal Kombat 10.
Well, didn't MK9 also have that?
9 didn't have the stances. 9 was just basically just straight up.
Mortal Kombat style.
Deception. Armageddon?
I know one of the PS2 games did, but I thought MK9 still had the other variations.
I don't think so.
I think it was just 10.
And then 10 went from, instead of having the stances that you could switch through in during matches, mm-hmm. you just picked what style. There were the three choices before.
Yeah. So, same point, I guess, just apply it to MK10. Yeah. That made it really hard to balance because they had so many stances. And I guess the first Injustice had the same thing. It had, or was it just two modes per, two styles per
character? Yeah, because you could switch up, Robin or Nightwing.
Nightwing,
you can change from the staff to the two, yeah.
Yeah, they just kind of made it harder to balance.
And the first Injustice was really good. I really enjoyed it.
The story was incredible.
I played the heck out of it.
And that's why I will buy that game day one. I've also, I've been playing the cell phone game since it came out. And every so odd weeks, they add a different character, different versions of characters and new characters. Rebirth Raven was just introduced.
Hmm.
So it's one of those where I am now excited to see which characters I'm going to get in this new game, because I know they've been working on character models for the old game.
I'm happy Supergirl's in it. I've always been a fan of Superman and Supergirl both. I just think they're really cool. And Supergirl was always my favorite heroine, for the longest time. So I'm excited to play as her. I think that's going to be really cool.
It's going to be cool. Yeah, and they've shown off a little bit of her gameplay. She actually looks fun.
And it's NetherRealm, so you wonder who they're going to put in the game extra. Because the first Injustice had Scorpion.
Mm-hmm.
And did it have anybody other than Scorpion?
He was the only one that
was
DC.
The only
one.
He was the only
Mortal Kombat character.
And then, of course, Mortal Kombat went
Mortal Kombat
nuts.
X had almost half of their DLC was outside characters.
A lot from horror games, too, which was cool.
Yep. All right, so yeah, that's going to be really cool. And then it wouldn't be an episode of Nerd Up without Overwatch talk. We got some more new features added because Blizzard's just going to keep doing this, and I love them for it.
Jesse, before you do that, why don't you tell everybody your luck with the loot boxes they gave you for Christmas?
Because I don't want to hate Blizzard. It wasn't good. That's the spoiler. I bought a lot of them, and I got gift cards for Christmas, and I bought even more. And yeah, I got all the skins. We'll just leave it at that. So we got we have. It's out. Currently, like, you can go online and play it right now. The new map for Overwatch, Oasis, which is another one of the King of the Hill map styles, which has always been one of my favorite. Like, that's just one of my go-tos. It actually is really fun. They have the brawl mode right now where it's just all Oasis all the time. I think that ends on Tuesday. So if you want to give it a shot, go ahead and do that. It's a lot of fun.
This is the one with the cars, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
The other thing, the Terry Crews. Terry Crews was in the studio. Took a picture of himself, like, in Blizzard Studios, like, in the Overwatch dev studios. A lot of people are thinking that he's going to be the voice of Doomfist, the newest iteration of Doomfist. He's actually found out they've added a lot of lore to that character in the game, including there have been three iterations of Doomfist in, like, Overwatch lore. And, yeah, they're thinking Terry Crews is going to voice the newest one. He's going to put on the glove gauntlet that you're carrying on Numbani. Yeah. And
I love Terry Crews.
I do, too.
Like, I know this is a story more about Overwatch, but I love Terry Crews. He's...
Oh, yeah, national treasure.
National treasure. Consistently just one of the greatest.
He was the best part of Everybody Hates Chris.
He was the best part of a lot of things. White girls? No, white chicks.
White chicks,
He was the best part of White Chicks, Buffy the White Girl Slayer.
Oh, God. Cheeseburger from The Longest Yard.
Yeah.
He's just fantastic. And he is. I feel like Terry Crews doesn't have to ask to be in a game like Overwatch. I feel like he just showed up and said, hey, I'm Doomfist now.
and they all ran in terror.
But that's the thing. That's the best thing about Terry Crews is he did ask because he just, like, this... 2016 was just a storied year of Terry Crews slowly, like, expressing interest in gaming
and
PCs. Yeah. And then he's like, okay, so how do I build a PC if I want to do that? There's a huge Reddit thread. Like, people were just inundating him with, like, okay, you need this. Like, they were teaching him how, showing him how. And he eventually built his own gaming PC. And now he's playing stuff, and he's like, he really liked Overwatch. And then someone just made a comment, like, hey, you should voice Doomfist. Eventually he's going to be a character. You should be the voice of him.
The best part about him and what separates him from us in nerd culture and stuff like that is that while he plays shirtless, jiggling his pecs the entire time.
Well, I mean,
and you say jiggling. It's not.
No, so much
he's flexing.
Flexing, yeah.
I'm jiggling my chest whenever I play video games. And it's not because I want to, that's just how physics work.
He just gets animated and vibrating. No, yeah, and then he's just like, oh, would there be any? Would people actually want that? And then the internet exploded because
after the picture came out of him being in the studio, he went onto his Facebook and Twitter, and he was like, "Would y'all actually want me to be Doomfist for like for real?" And then the internet just blew up. Like, yes, please. Even Dwayne The Rock Johnson jumped in on it. He tweeted out like, yes, I want to see my homeboy Terry Crews as Doomfist in this game. His voice is so BA that even it has muscles. That was the
tweet. And if there's a guy that knows muscles, it's Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
And like, I just want to imagine the two of them like having a LAN party. And just sitting around like in whoever's house, just both of them playing Overwatch, just flexing while they're playing. Because that's how they would do
it. That's who I want to see on like Twitch. I don't want to watch random people play Twitch. I want to see Dwayne and Terry shirtless playing Overwatch.
Please. I don't even care if it's shirtless. I don't even care if there's a camera. I just want to hear those two playing Overwatch together and communicating because I love both of those people.
I don't know why, but like I just think the image in my head is Terry Crews just mains Mercy.
Terry loves healing people.
I got you.
Stay alive. I love Terry Crews so much. I really just hope I get into a game with him now and he gets in the voice chat.
Like when we randomly ran across Xavier Woods that one game. Yeah.
And because his username is probably something like Terry Crews or like Terry Muscles Crews or something
Terry Muscles 423.
It's got to, something like that.
It's Terry Crews. It's going to be something more clever than that. Maybe like President Camacho or something like that.
Clancy Gatorade. has electrolytes. What the plants crave.
So yeah, no, I want Terry Crews in Overwatch, and whoever he voices will be my new main. I don't care how bad I am with the character, like, because I'll just sit there and emote the whole game, like how people run around with
just Lucio voice line, just voice line,
exactly.
Over and over.
Also, somehow now Doomfist looks like Terry Crews too.
it's
the craziest thing.
Because yeah, like people run around with like Lucio, just saying can't stop, won't stop, can't stop, won't stop.
I hate when people do that.
Yeah, but if it's Terry Crews,
I'll be fine with it.
Exactly.
I hope he's a healer. I'll start playing the game again.
They do need more healers in the game.
He'll probably be a tank.
Yeah, Mercy, almost certainly. Especially Doomfist just seems like he would be a tank. Like a
that
Reinhardt
would be fun.
Style.
That's
Doomfist
the
healer.
Yes, that would be amazing.
I agree. All right, so we'll get past that. Here we got the Diablo 20th anniversary. Was
yes.
The thing I really wanted to talk about.
Yes.
Everyone that's listened to the show knows that Diablo, or everyone knows me anyway, knows that Diablo has played a big part of my life in video gaming. I've been a fan of Diablo since the 90s.
Yes.
I've been playing for a long time. I lost an entire summer to Diablo 2. And I don't mean like I just played it a lot one summer. I mean like me and my little brother, we woke up in the morning, we played Diablo 2, and then we went to bed. Like that was...
I'm in that boat with you. I think probably you and I played Diablo the most out of everyone here at the table.
Yeah, and then me and Shannon both played a lot of Diablo 3.
1, 2, and 3. I beat all of them. I beat Diablo 3. I only beat Diablo 3 like 5 times, which sounds weird because a lot of people beat it way more than that. But the first Diablo, even though 2 was significantly better, 3 arguably better because I know a lot of people that hate 3, especially when it first came out.
Yeah, 3 has gotten incredible. When it first released, it
we were all
great.
Iffy on it.
Yeah,
but Diablo 1 will always be the best, in my opinion, just because it's the one
has,
I feel
it
most
had the best story.
About. Yeah, Tristram and Diablo himself was awesome. Yeah. The first time you ran across the Butcher and he chases you down. Like,
and you just because you hear that sound bite, the fresh meat.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you just got to run.
That's just good stuff right there.
That's good stuff.
So I'm super excited about this, even though I know it's not going to be the same. For at least an hour, I'm going to get that smile because it's nostalgic, you know?
And so, like, and if you guys liked that story mode, in Diablo 3 right now, the event is live. You can go in and play through the Diablo 1 dungeon. Like all the 16 level dungeon for Diablo 1, you'll fight the original King Leoric, Skeleton King. You'll fight the original Butcher, because you do fight both of those in Diablo 3 as well.
Yep.
And all the way up to finally fighting and killing Diablo. And they even put like their retrovision camera on it, where everything looks a little bit more pixely, like it would on Diablo 1. Because it's still Diablo. You're running through with your Diablo 3 characters, like through the Diablo 3 engine. They just kind of, put that little bit of a visual effect on it, which is really cool.
And that's nifty. Blizzard always just knocks it out of the park when it comes to anything special like this. They've also got the spray paints available. I think it's spray paints.
Yeah, sprays on
Overwatch.
Yeah, sprays in Overwatch plus a player icon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then they've got a bunch of stuff in World of Warcraft, from
which I'm excited about. That I've been meaning to do, but we're stuck doing. We're right at 109, Lindsay and I. We're just about done with Legion, so we wanted to knock that out of the park first. But if this is a limited time event, you know, obviously
then,
you want to get
jump
it done. Got to fight that Cow King.
Got to get it because they added the Diablo 2 cow level.
There is no cow level,
and the cow level is one of my favorite things that Blizzard has ever done. So Dalton is real confused.
So no, I know what it is in Diablo.
Yeah,
like
well, there was none in Diablo.
It's 2 and 3.
In 2, yeah, everyone said, okay, there's a cow level in Diablo, and then Blizzard actually put in there is no cow level in Diablo. Then they put it in Diablo 2, and they were like, yeah, there is. Just kidding. Just like Reptile in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
The secret codes to fight Reptile and stuff like that. That's one of those just classic. You can't get away with that in games anymore, really, because of the internet and everything like that. Like, that was back in a time where word of mouth was huge.
Well, I mean, even still, like, I think just a few months ago, someone unlocked a new menu in, like, the Mortal Kombat 2 arcade cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, okay, you have to high punch on player 2. Like, just the most ridiculous, obscure button combination.
That they just
somehow
figured
out. Like, who could possibly...
Right.
That's someone's job, is to just randomly mash and log, like, what
the buttons
are pushing.
They probably honestly looked through the source code and found it.
Yeah. Aww.
Or the Megalodon in Battlefield 4.
I like...
It's completely random. Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
Where you have to do this insane amount of specific things, and if you do the exact right thing... A literal megalodon will come out of the water and like eat everybody. It's awesome.
I like Ace's headcanon more of just one guy who's losing his mind for the last 20 years in front of that cabinet.
Just hit it. All right. So Diablo 20th anniversary. We're definitely going to jump on that when we get home.
I will say I'm real bummed that the new Heroes of the Storm character was a WoW character.
Oh, isn't it a troll?
Yeah, yeah, it's troll Zul'jin. King. Yeah.
Oh.
So like this is a perfect opportunity to throw in.
Well, I think they all right. They did. They had a character. Diablo event. Yeah, I was gonna say
they had an entire Diablo thing where they put in the Butcher.
They put in two new levels and like five characters from Diablo.
Why didn't you save that for the 20th anniversary?
That's a great question. Well, no, I understand why they didn't, because that was like a year ago, and everybody was complaining about how Heroes of the Storm was almost exclusively WoW characters.
Yeah,
and then they had like a half dozen StarCraft characters and two or three Diablo characters.
I'm still all right. I don't want to get on a Heroes of the Storm kick, but Jesse, we've waited long enough. Where is the rock and roll racing characters? Where is Blackthorn? I want my special characters.
I at the very least need rock and roll racing mounts.
Yes. Give me a... Oh, my God.
Please. Blizzoo.
Blizzoo, Dalton please. Is in another time zone.
All right. So I guess that's going to do it for the show here.
One last thing. Speaking of video games and the Nintendo Switch and talking about like how they have no immediate third-party support, the Nintendo Treehouse is this Friday. Ooh. And it's their Twitch special, or it's their Switch special.
So expect to hear a whole lot about that next week.
Well, the big rumor, Dark Souls 1, 2, and 3, Collector's Edition for the Switch. Mm-hmm. That's the big rumor. And if they show that, I'm super jazzed.
Yeah, I was about to
super
say,
jazzed.
I mean, to
I
me, that's
you were,
cool.
For a second, you were going to say sold, but I was like, oh, Shannon.
I've got all three of them on Xbox One.
I was going to say, a game that I will not play on a console I will not buy.
Well, I mean, but that would be really cool. But if they're really trying to push, like, third-party... You know, oh, we've got third party, don't worry. It needs to be a huge AAA upcoming title, not a game that's been out for a year.
So not Skyrim, which is what they showed in the original trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have to see how it goes. So yeah, expect to hear about that next week as I'll be watching it live, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people here will also likely be watching it, if not live, then later.
Yes.
So to close out the show. Make sure you check out our friends Josh and Alan at Press Start to Join at ps2jshow.com. You can find all their podcasts there, as well as links to all their social media. You can also check out youtube.com/PS2J Show, and you can see all of their videos there, their Let's Plays, their version of Irresponsible Spin Monsters when they do product openings.
They're going to be our competitors, aren't they? We're going to...
They're our sister show.
Yes. Yeah. They're our Canadian cousins.
Yes. Yeah. There you go.
And they finally did a show because they took like a couple weeks off for the holidays.
Yeah.
And I was so happy whenever it showed up in my iTunes feed that they were back. I was like, yay! My friends.
Don't let something to listen to.
Yay.
They all own one of our shirts.
They do.
They did. Yeah. Repping us up in the Great White North. So... Yeah, you can check that out. Then also make sure if you were from this area or if you were planning on swinging through this area to check out our friends up at Villainous Grounds in Perryville. Get you a great cup of coffee, some great customer service, and great conversation.
You can buy all those Spidey books there.
You can. And I hope you like DC Rebirth.
I likely will.
All right. And if you would like us to promote something, whether it be me on this show or Shannon on another show, just... head over to patreon.com/podzilla1985. You can donate there. $10 gets you a plug on whatever show you want. And any amount, though, you know, we'll be very, very happy with. We'll give you a shout out on any show and, well, several for some people. And then we'll even put you on our website.
And this is legitimate. We keep talking about the YouTube thing. Just real quick, we're legitimately going to work on this YouTube thing. And anything you guys want to donate to us to help jumpstart this, you know me. I hate saying, yeah, donate. I hate it. It took you so much to convince me to do Patreon.
Yes.
But anything helps because this is an investment for us. We're creeping up on 2 years with Podzilla 1985, Jesse. 2 years we've been doing this.
I know.
It's been a great ride, and I'm looking forward to what we do in the future. So, we appreciate it so much. And whatever you guys can do, killer.
Yep, we'll always appreciate it. And that'll do it. Thank you, Dalton. Thank you, Asa. Thank you, Shannon. And thanks, Allie, for hanging out, too. She was here. We'll see you guys next week.